Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome to Mommy Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Heaps with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSIN family of podcasts. We've got an excellent podcast for you guys. We're going to be joined in segment number two by Rocco Miller. He does amazing work over at Bracketeer.org, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. And he's going to be joining me talking about what we've seen in the coaching carousel. We're going to be talking as well about just how rambunctious this offseason is and how the transfer portal sets up a little bit of everything. How these coaching moves, how the coaching carousel, it decides what these teams are going to be doing with regards to their non-conference scheduling. And he's actually someone that does help out a lot in terms of college basketball scheduling as well. So we're going to be talking about that aspect of things. We're going to be taking a look at some moves of impact that we've been seeing with regards to these coaches and some of the approaches that we might be seeing in the transfer portal. Along with that, a growing trend of these players that they enter into the NBA draft, but they decide where they're going to be transferring to as well. We saw that with Jabri Abdul-Rahim on Monday. We also saw that with a guy like a Jordan Ivey Curry as well. And most of these guys that they decide where they're going to be transferring to, shock, shock, surprise, surprise, oftentimes they actually transfer. They don't stay in the NBA draft. We've seen a few exceptions, but most of these guys, they do stay in school. And when it comes to it as well, we're going to be talking about the roll of the dice that some of these teams have with regards to both NBA draft decisions and these guys that are out there in the transfer portal, whether or not they want to be all in on these guys in the draft, if they want to cut their losses, maybe risk losing them as well, because that's something that really does weigh on a lot of these teams, as I'm alluding to them, just perhaps having a situation where they've got a guy that is both in the NBA draft and transferring to them as well, which puts them in a little bit of sticky spots. So we're going to be talking about that nuance of college basketball in segment number two with Rocco, and then in the final segment, you're going to be getting like 25 plus minutes of the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Monday. We saw a lot of guys come off the board, and I will be talking with Rocco as well about how much we're going to be seeing happen when it comes to the months of late May, early June, because I do think that that's really going to be the prime time spot where we do see a lot of these transfer moves made. So we're going to be chatting with them about that. So we've got a lot on tap for this show. This first segment is going to be a little bit shorter, and I've got this first segment set aside for questions. So please, 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 if you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, do fire those in one of two ways. First one is my Twitter /xtimeline at gn_41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Like I said, we've got about like 26 minutes of news and notes coming up. We've got a 20 20-minute interview with Rocco Miller as well, so I'm cutting this first segment short. I'm pretty much forced to take two breaks with this long of a podcast, so we're going to leave it right here. And coming up next, we are going to be talking to Rocco Miller about what to expect this offseason. I'll also ask him if there's a conference in general that he thinks might be looking to recruit the transfer portal in a little bit of different ways, and just in general, try to improve upon some of their weaknesses like the SEC did with a lot of their jump shooting. That was a big theme that we saw from them this offseason, and a theme with Rocco Miller is great insight analysis. He joins me next right here on Consequence Hoops with myself, Greg Eugene Peterson, now a part of the Music Family Podcast.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Cuts and Cuts Soups with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. And it's always great to get this man aboard as Rocco Miller. He does tremendous work over at his website, bracketeer.org. Obviously, when it comes to bracketology, his prime time of year is February and March, but he's still hard at work in April, May, helping out these teams set up their non-conference schedules, taking a look at all those non-conference schedules, as this is going to be actually a very busy time for that. And I know that he's got his finger on the pulse of a little bit of everything that's going on in college basketball. You're able to follow Rocco over on Twitter /X at his first and last name, Rocco Miller, and then the number 8 altogether. And Rocco, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Always a pleasure talking to you, Greg. How have you been here in this first week after the season ended? I guess we're 1 week into the offseason officially.
I can tell you right now, I'm having some withdrawals of not having college basketball games, but I think that's all of us at this point. But that said, at the very least, with regards to college basketball action that's happening off the court, very, very hot and heavy. We've got over 1,600 players in the transfer portal. We've had 100 million billion coaching moves as well. And just first question for you, it's a little bit of a broad one, but what have you made out of this offseason where it feels like we've seen more coaching movement really than ever before?
I think when we get to the total number, it's going to be similar to what we've seen in recent years. Now, again, I think the carousel got a little busier than the last 3 or 4 offseasons, basically because we're fully away from any kind of COVID interruptions. We're also starting to get away from the 5-year COVID cycle after one more season. I think that's a good place to start. And the next big thing is realignment is going to hit college sports in a major way next year, probably even bigger than before, as we look to, unfortunately for basketball, football's created a power two kind of structure where you really see the pattern of these coaching hires being dominated by the SEC and the Big Ten being probably the best jobs that a coach could desire, followed by some sort of pecking order led by the Big 12, followed by the ACC and the Big East, probably Big East then ACC. So that tier structure is kind of starting to take fold, in my opinion, in college basketball as well. I think that's also starting to translate over to the NIL power structure in terms of player movement. And I don't know how much longer it will take, but we have these leagues all going to 16 to 18 teams. And it just seems like every either mid-major or somewhat near high major coach is jumping at the opportunity to take that next leap. And then also, I think the athletic directors at the institutions where changes were made are looking forward to that as well, whether it be a guy that you might have thought was doing a good enough job to keep his job. That exact job that coach may have had before is in fact going to be a different job starting next year with different levels of expectations. And so I just think from the top down, the hierarchy of all of college basketball is completely impacted by that. And it has a trickle down effect into the next level of what you might want to call mid majors and then down to the low majors. Everybody's got to kind of shuffle and look out for themselves if they're in the coaching business, whether you're a high level assistant coach or a really talented low major head coach. I think more and more people are having to bet on themselves for what their next move is, you know, just based on the sport as a whole changing.
Yeah, it certainly has been interesting to take a look at all these fast risers, because you were talking about so many of these coaches, and we've seen some like a Danny Sprinkle go from Montana State, and in 2 years, now he's a coach over at Washington. You take a look at someone like a Josh Ertz. He was at the D2 level not too long ago. Now here he is coaching up St. Louis. And what have you made of the, it feels like faster rises of these coaches, and it feels like teams and organizations in this day and age, they're more willing to give a younger coach an opportunity. And it does feel like we've seen a little bit of a changing of the guard with regards to these coaches in college basketball.
I think the main pattern there is everybody just wants to get to the NCAA tournament. If you have a guy like a Danny Sprinkle who's going to Washington, or a Steve Lutz who's going to Oklahoma State, whereas 2 years ago, those two coaches were both coaching in low major basketball in the Big Sky and in the Southland Conference, respectively. You know, they were two guys that were able to prove they could get different levels of teams to the NCAA tournament each year in a 3-year span, and really impressed athletic directors at the highest level, mainly because they were able to put a roster together, put a staff together in less than a calendar year, and get them NCAA tournament level talent, and able to surprise a lot of people, win their leagues, you know, whether it's Western Kentucky just making a run at the end of Conference USA and just constantly getting better throughout the year, or a Utah State team who kind of took the country by surprise from the opening tip and kind of waltzed their way into an at-large bid later in the year. I think both formulas were highly successful for those two gentlemen as a good start. And then I think, you know, athletic directors have the pressure themselves to win and win now. If you can go out and find a guy that's already proven they can work within this new landscape, whether it's, you know, the NIL component of it, it's the player acquisition, the player departures, the player arrivals, you got to have your pulse on all of it. You need to probably start looking at having a GM, especially at the highest level. You probably heard Mark Pope talk about that during his press conference yesterday at Kentucky. I mean, it's going to be pretty much at the biggest level by next year or the year after at every school. And so you need to constantly be managing your roster, be looking at some type of big man that's going to create rim protection, create high screen and roll. A lot of these coaches are going to modern offenses. So even just looking at mid-majors, one pattern I'm seeing, Greg, is you look at John Jakes at Cornell, Ethan Faulkner at Youngstown State, Matt Graves at Indiana State. Those are three programs that decided to promote those three guys because they like what they see. They like that modern offense. They know that those guys have worked really hard behind the scenes to help build those programs, and they want to see it continue. I thought that was great for those three schools to do what they did, because I don't think the game's changing anytime soon. It's only going to continue to evolve in that manner where everybody can make threes. You need elite rim protection. You need to have an elite big man, and it applies to kind of every level of the sport. And after you saw Alabama get to a Final Four this year and Nate Oates' model and him being one of the originals, I think it starts to become more of a copycat sport even more. So just very fascinating stuff, but the trends are kind of really showing and exposing themselves through the different fires that you see across college basketball.
Yep, the trends are really showing, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, because there is one trend that I'm really picking up on. As joining me on the show, we do have Rocco Miller, who does great work over at Bracketeer.org, joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And one of those trends is we see these coaches taking these jobs and trying to bring some of the players that were with them at their old spot with them. We saw this past season with South Florida bringing in the Kennesaw guys over with Abdul Rahim. That was massive for them. We saw that with Austin Peay. You saw Corey Gibson bring over a lot of the guys from Northwestern State, and we have yet to see overly much of that in this cycle. Obviously, the DeVries family package over at West Virginia is certainly one of those, but how do you take a look at that aspect of things? Because we did notice a few of the Indiana State guys decide to go to Texas a few days ago, so that's one that might not quite be going the way of Josh Schertz, but I anticipate quite a bit of this happening as well this offseason.
Well, yeah, and I think even an internal promotion that surprised a lot of people was Jake Diebler at Ohio State. He was able to keep one of their key guys right out of the gate, and then also get Michi Johnson to return from South Carolina. They're right in the mix for a bunch of very good players, including Conwell, who's visiting there right now from Indiana State. So unfortunately for St. Louis and Josh Schertz, they're not able to pull some of these top sycamores. Robbie Avila is still to be determined. I think that's a big part of the hiring process. If you can hire a guy that's not only going to bring his talents and hopefully some of his staff with him, but also bring some of their starting five, kind of makes the separation between other candidates, because other candidates could be sitting assistant coaches. They could be sitting NBA assistants. They come from all different shapes and sizes. Could also be a current D2 coach. We're seeing that trend more and more each cycle as well. Yeah, of course, if you have the ability to find an Abdul Rahim type, bring him over. West Virginia did a great job with DeVries, at least getting his son for one more year there. And that's going to also help, I think, entice a few other kids to come and play there at a high level and ideally get them back to the tournament in year one. Then that makes your decision a little bit easier, quite a bit easier, in fact, especially, you know, based on what we said earlier in this conversation, it's now officially a year-to-year sport. It's going to be hard to find a school that is willing to wait 2 to 3 years, especially the higher up the chain you go. You know, like Ivan Thomas going to Hampton, maybe they're okay with him taking 3 years to get to the tournament. They're starting from the 300s and trying to work their way up the CAA. But there's not a lot of those anymore after, you know, what we've seen 2 years ago at Southern Mississippi, what we saw last year at SMU. You can get a team from the 300s to the top 75 with a couple of portal moves and maybe a couple of staff changes. So that's now maybe an unrealistic expectation, because obviously the numbers say 250 teams are going to fail, but there's still going to be some success stories, and that's what everybody's chasing.
Yep, absolutely. That is what everyone's chasing. And on this podcast, we're always chasing great guests, and we've got that with Rocco Miller. And I do think that it is so interesting to be able to dive in on that front, because it has been a trend that we have been seeing very much in college basketball over the last few seasons as well. But as we know, there's going to be a lot of decision making that happens with the NBA draft as well. And how much do you take a look at the transfer portal sort of process right now and realize, hey, maybe in a month or two is when things are really going to get hot and heavy? Because I just take a look at the portal right now as I refresh verbal commits. There's over 1,650 players in the transfer portal. And though there are going to be a few guys that come off the board in the next few days, I just take a look at things and I really take a look at the calendar itself. I think late May, early June is when we're going to be seeing a lot of this action.
You know, I think coaches are going to have to hedge their bets, you know, assuming, of course, starting at the highest level where there are going to be guys that enter both the NBA draft and the transfer portal at the same time.
Some guys actually decide on the school that they're going to and then enter the NBA draft.
Yeah, so today we saw Jabir Abdul-Rahim transfer from Georgia and commit to Providence. That actually happened earlier. But when he initially announced, he said he was already entering the NBA draft process. So we're going to have quite a few of these guys, as we did last year and previous years, since this whole portal process plus NBA draft process plays out simultaneously. I think if you're the school that the kid's committing to, let's say it's Providence in this example, you're going to have to hedge your bets a little bit now. You don't want to take three or four of these guys and have, you know, two or three of them, or God forbid, all four of them go to the draft, because then you have to start all over and there'll be nothing left from the portal. You got to be careful with it. But, you know, depending on where you're at in your roster construction process, perhaps you already have solid pieces you feel good about. Why don't we take a chance on a couple of these guys just in case they don't get the NBA evaluation that they're hoping for? Which, by the way, I think out of last year, something around 250 or so, I could be off by a little bit. It was in the 200s, I remember. Early entrants started the process. And by the time we got to the end, I think around 100 stayed in. So you have a little bit better than 50% chance that the kid will come back to college at this point. Plus, if you're at a Big East school or higher, you're probably offering a decent chunk of NIL money as well. So it makes their decision easier than ever now to return to school. It's the more risk averse decision. Of course, it's risky when you go pro, because then you don't know where you're going to land. And if you're not getting the evaluation you want, the college decision is the safe landing spot. So from that standpoint, I think it's really good for college basketball. I think a lot of these guys will end up back in college, especially the ones that aren't sure or you're not seeing in any mock drafts right now. So I think it will pan out. But I think you also, like I said earlier, you have to be very careful as a coach to not take too many of these guys and then get burned in a couple months.
Yep, absolutely. And I do think that that's such a fine balance for these coaches. If you do go all in on a guy that is in the NBA draft process and they decide to leave, well, then you're left holding the bag and like, June, July, and you're trying to get someone at the last minute. And we have seen a lot of the situations not pan out. Even if you get a guy that you want, they're a little bit behind the eight ball. They don't recognize the system as well. So that is certainly something that I'm going to be watching out for moving forward. And I do think that they are some of the biggest guys of intrigue when it comes to this process. And just when it comes to taking a look at the transfer portal and when it comes to all these guys that are going to be moving around, Just do you think that there might be a conference or two that is going to be perhaps going in a little bit of a different direction? And by this, I mean, we saw this with the SEC last year. They looked themselves in the mirror and they said, we don't have any jump shooting whatsoever. And you see a school like Tennessee bringing Dalton Connect. Alabama was already bringing in shooting, but we saw like Florida bringing in Walter Clayton, guys like this. Do you think that there might be a conference that had a little bit of a rough go of it this past tournament that decide, you know what, maybe we'll decide to bring in a little bit of a different breed of guys this season?
Yeah, I think it's a little early to say. I have to kind of wait and see how rosters materialize. We're getting clues here and there as, you know, you see Aaron Bradshaw comes over to Ohio State from Kentucky, Michi Johnson coming in. That should help their shooting. I would think the Big Ten's the league that could maybe be a little bit more offensive. I think Big Ten's got a bad rap over the years, even though they send a lot of teams to the tournament, of course, of being more of a defensive, kind of a tough league to watch. It's officiated a little bit differently, as is the Big East. The SEC got pretty fun this last year, as you saw, with Arkansas, Kentucky going to, and Florida, and a bunch of those teams playing multiple games into the hundreds in regulation. I think that's the trend you're going to continue seeing. And I think that's for two reasons. One, because I think players themselves are becoming more and more consistent, especially if you're able to pull the diamonds in the rough out of mid-major ball and up to the higher level, which is basically how Alabama was built. You'll see more and more schools do what they've done. And then also, I think the thing is if you're constantly starting fresh with a new roster year after year, even if it's the same coaching staff, the easiest way to implement a new system is to go to more of a five-out systematic model that's easy to teach. You're not going to have a bunch of growing pains in November and December because you quite simply can't afford those growing pains nowadays because it could ruin your resume to the point where you can't make up for it later in the year. Like, that's probably something South Florida might wish they changed last year. Maybe there's nothing they could have done about it, but they took two brutal losses. And then, although they looked like an at-large team for much of January and February, they were kind of already played themselves out of the mix. I think the system has to be able to fit a one-year model. And I think some of the coaches were ahead of the curve who have done that in the last season and the previous season. And I just think you're going to continue to see more and more of that because you can't overcomplicate things anymore with such a short amount of time with these guys.
Yep, absolutely. And I do think that it's going to be so interesting to see how so many of these teams attack the transfer portal. We just cut down the nets a week ago. So there's a lot of teams trying to retool for what we're going to be getting in the 2024-25 campaign. But as you know, it's never too early to take a look at scheduling as well, and how much of what happens the next few weeks does go into the schedules that we are going to be seeing when it comes to the non-conference portion of part of things, because I know that you do a great job of meeting up with these teams. And just what do you look for in general to determine whether or not a team is going to be a contender, a pretender, and how these teams should be really focusing on their non-conference schedule? Because I think that it's a fine balance for these teams in general, when one that is very, very difficult to reach.
It's a situation where it all goes hand in hand with both the coaching carousel and the roster changes. So scheduling is right up there in level of importance. A lot of the major schools, as you've seen in the last year and few years, they've agreed upon a few early games that are slowly being announced, or maybe you're already aware of. That's a carryover from last year. For example, you know, UConn and Gonzaga came together for a two-year package, so they'll get to play each other again in Madison Square Garden this year. You're starting to see some announcements. Texas, Ohio State will open the season in Las Vegas, and that will be part of an event. We'll have all Power 6 level schools. I guess we're down to Power 5 now without the Pac, but in that event. And so some of those events are already signed and agreed to, but a lot of the teams that really, really want to go after scheduling are kind of waiting in the weeds as we speak to A, make sure their players aren't going to bolt on them before they agree to a tough schedule, and B, kind of wait for, you know, which power teams they can actually get to agree to play. The teams you're going to see not have the strongest schedules are going to be probably the teams that just hired a new staff, like maybe a Kyle Smith at Stanford. I know they're working on maybe one or two tough games, but I think you'll see them have a lot of home games, especially with their situation going to the ACC and having big travel starting in January. They're not wanting to go very far, but that's a team where so far they basically just have a bunch of home games against winnable opponents, and they're going to try to rebuild that culture into a winning culture. And Kyle knows what he's doing, so I wouldn't expect much from a team like that. It varies across the board, but once a team starts feeling a lot better and more confident about their roster, that's when my phone typically starts ringing a lot to get them games or to see what's left or who's willing to play and what arena can we get the game in. that's where things get really fun. So we're not quite there yet, unless it's a couple very established teams. But what I've found here in these last couple weeks at the start of the process is that most of those games are already determined and committed to. So we're a little bit ahead of schedule compared to last year, which I'm excited about. But I think we're going to go into a little bit of a freeze until the portal calms down and a lot of commitments come out.
Yep, no doubt about it. Just a week removed from UConn being able to win the title. There's going to be a lot of retooling these next few weeks. But as we know, championship teams, they are not built on the fly in October. They're built right now. And it is very important to be taking a look at all this. And Rocco, I know that you're doing an amazing job of it. And you're going to be helping out a lot of these teams, be able to set up their non-conference schedules, be able to try to put them in the best position humanly possible to perhaps get one of those at-large bids. Hopefully we won't have 100 million billion teams steal bids this past season, but that's that made for a very interesting NCAA tournament. And I know you're hard at work just taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. So we'll let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. So at Rocco Miller 8 is my handle on Twitter. Follow along for any and all updates. I'm also just reposting a ton of transfer commitments, hopefully not overwhelming anybody with that, but it's very important to what next year is going to begin to look like. I have a few different articles coming out on bracketeer.org in the next few weeks, look ahead stuff and some synopsis from last year. So hopefully if you find that interesting, you'll take a look at those. Lastly, the non-conference schedule pages per conference will begin with Big Ten and the SEC, and then we'll go on to the Big 12. Those will hopefully be starting to appear live on your end of things beginning May 1st. So a lot of efforts going into that as well. Some of the schools we're still waiting on responses for, so we don't want to put those fully up until we at least have a good amount of data on each team. Don't expect too much longer on that. And then we'll work our way all the way through each of the 32 leagues throughout the summer. And that will help the puzzle together, which doesn't end until really September these days, which is kind of crazy. But otherwise, yeah, appreciate it. Bracketeer.org is the place to find all of that.
Absolutely. And our good friend Rocco does such a great job taking a look at this awesome game of college basketball all 12 months out of the year. And he's going to be helping so many of these teams try to be able to build their resume for March with regards to these non-conference games. And he is really the scheduling guru when it comes to college basketball. So big thanks, Rocco, for joining me on Coast to Coast. He's now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, we saw a lot of player movement in college basketball on Monday. I'll give you a recap of it next.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right, which is different than empathy, yeah, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Eats with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family and Podcast. It is always great to be joined by Rocco Miller. He does such an amazing job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. I don't think a lot of people know this, but behind the scenes, he actually does help a lot of these teams with regards to their scheduling, with regards to just being able to set up things for the season. He just absolutely loves this game of college basketball. He's a tremendous bracketologist, and he's just a tremendous person that we have in this field in general. So big thanks to Rocco for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast that I give you a recap of all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball Monday. We saw a few guys declare for the NBA draft, and there's not a lot of surprise with regards to some of these declarations, as Jacoby Walter, he was over at Baylor this last season, was their top scorer, and he has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. And personally, maybe it's just me, feel like he's going to be a little bit better at the NBA level than he was in college. I mean, he was the Big 12 Rookie of the Year, averaging 14.5 points, 4.5 boards, but did feel like when it came to Baylor, sometimes he just got a little bit shot happy in general. I think that he's going to be tremendous at the next level, but I do think that for Baylor, it was a case where sometimes the offense did revolve a little bit too much around him, and no doubt about it, he was a rock solid player, but I do think that Scott Drew, after he decided that he is going to be sticking around town, he's going to be able to do a lot with this team in general. And we did see DJ Wagner, he has decided that he's going to enter into the transfer portal. A little bit surprised that he has yet to enter into the NBA draft. He could be one of these guys that is both in the draft and in the transfer portal, but last season, solid over at Kentucky. You expected more out of him. He had 10 points, 3.3 assists per contest, former like top 25 recruit. This is a guy that was very much sought after by oh so many, so we shall see what is going to be happening on that front, but no question about it. There's going to be probably 362 D1 teams that would like to have them on their team. And Therese Hunter is also now in the transfer portal as well. Therese Hunter, rock solid year this past season over at Texas. I don't bin a lot of the struggles that Texas had on him. Did a nice job playing alongside Max A. Smith. Gave out 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 11 points per contest, and has become a better 3-point shooter. In his first year at Iowa State, he only shot about 27.5% from distance. This year, shot about 34.5% or so from 3-point range. He was able to give the team about 1.3 steals per contest as well, so I do like what he's able to bring to the table, and going to be interesting to see where he ends up. We know where this man is going to end up, though. That'd be Connor Hickman. Decided that he is going to be going to Cincinnati, so yes, he is on to Cincinnati, and was very rock solid at Baylor last season. For Hickman, I don't know if he's necessarily going to do one thing great, but you know that he's going to do a lot relatively solid. He was able to give Bradley 14.5 points, 3 assists on 40% three-point shooting. Stands right in the neighborhood, about 6'3", so he's got relatively good versatility. I think that Wes Miller is going to be able to do a really good job with him, and I do think that he's going to be able to make a very big impact. It's going to be interesting to see the impact of this man. Jaden Henley, he was over at DePaul this last season, and as we know, for DePaul, it was not great to say the least, but he has decided that he is going to be transferring on over to UNLV, and for UNLV, they've had a lot of transfers on paper that just haven't panned out, and for Henley, he actually began his career at Minnesota before transferring on over to DePaul, so this is school number 3 in 3 seasons, and when I was at Minnesota, shot about 37.5% from three-point range, registered about 5.5 points per contest this past season, averaged more like 8.5 points per game and nearly a steal per contest, but only shot about 27% from three-point range. It was just a rudderless and sad system in general that DePaul ran, so I don't necessarily pin it all on him, but he has decided where he is going to be going, and I do think that that's going to be a solid gift for UNLV, but once again, can they do a lot with these transfers is the question. Raleigh Worcester, he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Missed the second half of the season at Utah after he was a good facilitator for them. Now, Davion Smith really stole his thunder as he was much better just in general, so that's something that you do want to be looking out for, but that said, he was able to put up 10 points, generated a steal and a half, 5.5 assists, 4 boards per contest. Not really a guy that's going to light it up from three-point range, but does have himself a nice overall game, so I do think that there's going to be a lot of schools out there that want a guy that has served at the point guard spot for 4 seasons, and there were schools that wanted this man, Ronnie Brown over at Virginia Tech, 6'6", little bit of a combo player last season that was at Virginia Tech, was just a designated shooter, shot about 40% from three-point range, 3.5 points and assists per contest. This is going to be a solid get for Cal and what they're going to be looking to build under Mark Madsen. I have full faith that Madsen is going to be able to turn things around at Cal. Does take a lot of time, as this was one of the saddest programs in all of college basketball prior to him taking the job, so going to be very interesting to see what happens on that front end. I do think that this is going to be a big impact get, as for Kent State, you can tell that the drop-off with them not having Sincere Carey in the fold last season, that was big for them, and I think that this guy could be able to fill those shoes. Sion Medley, he was over at St. Louis this last season, didn't score a lot, but he was a good defender, one of the only guys for St. Louis that defended, giving you about a steal per contest. Threw out there 4 assists, 4.5 points per contest. He shot about 36% from three-point range. He's heading on over to Kent State. This is one of those very under-the-radar transfers that I think is going to have a big impact. I think that this is going to be absolutely massive for them, so I do like that pickup. And this is a name, Lamar Odin Jr. He was over at Drexel this last season, really didn't put up massive numbers at all, but for Odin Jr., he has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Charleston Southern. He's going to be playing for Sean Nimley, and for Odin Jr., it's going to be really interesting to see what he's going to be able to provide moving forward, and it's Odin, not Odom, so I just want to make that clear, because this is not the son of the NBA player or anything like that, but while he was over at Drexel this past season, was able to register about 5 points per contest, fall from what he did two seasons ago, more like 8.5 points, 5.5 boards, was really able to put in there a nice performance as a 6'6", a little bit of a do-it-all player for Drexel, one of the better defenses in all of college basketball, and that's something that has very much been eluding Charleston Southern, so I do think that he's going to be able to come in right away and be able to give this team a nice little bit of an impact, as I think that this gentleman is going to as well. Dontrez Stiles, he has decided that he's going to be entering into the transfer portal, a former four-star recruit, was able to log about 12.5 points, 5.8 rebounds per game, 6'6", really do-it-all sort of player, needs to work on his defense, was a part of a Georgetown team that this past season played absolutely no defense whatsoever, and as we know, while he was over at UNC, the defense was leaving a little bit of something to be desired as well, but a nice go-to scorer that's able to pop it relatively solid from three-point range as well, so I do think that that is going to be a relatively good pickup for who is ever going to be able to land him, and this is a relatively solid pickup as well. Zed Key is heading on over to Dayton, and my goodness, this Dayton program has been able to bring in better and better transfers every single year. Key last season did experience a little bit of a fall off at Ohio State, and you have to think that he was someone that felt like he probably wasn't going to be getting a lot of minutes with Aaron Bradshaw, deciding that he's going to be going on over to the Ohio State University. That is absolutely massive for Ohio State. North of 7 feet tall, he's able to pop threes, has really good versatility, he's able to man things down low, and for Key, he was, during the 2021-22 and 22-23 seasons, a starter at his best year during the 22-23 campaign. 10.5 points, 7.5 boards, a block per contest. Not necessarily going to go out there and pop threes, but this past season, that dropped to about 6.5 points per contest, but losing Deron Holmes, most likely losing Nate Santos, they did need to just be able to retool in general, and this is a very very good way for Dayton to be able to do so. That is going to be massive out there in the Atlantic 10. And Sincere Harris, he was able to average about 3.5 points per contest for Illinois this past season. Not necessarily the world's greatest three-point shooter. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal, so we shall see what his prospects are going to be. Cam Corin, he was over at Florida State this past season. He's another guy that is going to be transferring within the conference. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Pittsburgh. And for Corin last season, he was one of the few players that, for Florida State, that was able to be relatively consistent and put up some good numbers. 9.5 points per contest, gave the team 4 boards. Would like to see him have a little bit more range. If not really going to be too much of a shot blocker at 6'10". He's not a guy that shoots threes. He's not necessarily the world's greatest rim protector. So do have a few question marks there. But all in all, I do think that he's going to be able to go into Pittsburgh. And I do think that he's going to be able to make a nice impact for a Pittsburgh team that has been playing a little bit of a slower tempo here in recent years. I was talking about Cal a little bit before. They got another addition and the fact that BJ Omon is going to be coming over. So you get a nice sharpshooter from Virginia Tech that you can mold into your own. And BJ Omon was one of the most well-rounded players at the mid-major level last season. 16.5 points, 4.2 boards for a North Dakota team that was vastly improved on defense this past season. Was able to give the team a block per contest. Only shot about 28.5% from three-point range at 6'8", but he's got a nice skill set. I absolutely love what he's able to bring to the table. So that is going to be a big one as well. And then we did see Trey Bonham decide that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. He was playing at Chattanooga this past season, logging about 16 points per contest. And for Trey Bonham, he spent a year at Florida and he saw a little bit of run while he was over at Florida as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see what his prospects are. And for Bonham, he was another one of those guys that was a two-time transfer, was left out to begin the season. He had to sit out about 10 or so games before he was really able to make his impact. Also gave the team 5 boards, 3.5 assists per contest while shooting 41.5% from three-point range. A two-time All-SoCon player. So I do think that he's going to be able to come in right away and is going to be able to make a very nice impact. You've also got Tony Perkins, who he made his decision known that he is going to be transferring on over to Missouri. For Missouri, they won as many games as myself in the SEC this past season, but I do think that this is going to be a solid gift for them. 14 points, 4.5 boards, 4.5 assists per contest. Not a guy that's going to light it up from three. Last year, shot about 30% from three. Career about 31.5% three-point shooter, but if Tony Perkins can decide to buy in a little bit defensively, as for Missouri, they were not great on the defensive side this past season. They were very much a team that, when they had success 2 seasons ago, they would gamble for and they would get turnovers, so I do think that they're going to need to do a little bit more of that moving forward. If he's able to have some active hands, I do think that that is going to be a big pickup for that Dennis Gates system. This is a big pickup for UAB. They've done a nice job hitting the transfer portal in recent years, and Tyron Moore, he's going to look to give UAB more. He's coming over from Georgia Southern. No doubt some familiarity there, as Georgia Southern was competing out there in the Sun Belt. And for Tyron Moore, he was able to supply 17 points, 3 assists per contest for Georgia Southern this past season. He shot also 40% from three, which, considering he was the go-to option for a Georgia Southern team that absolutely sucked, and they knew that the ball was going to be going to him, this is a very, very good get for them. So I really do like what they're going to be able to build there, and I think that he's going to go to UAB and instantly become a go-to guy. Tristan Maxwell, he has entered in the transfer portal. He was playing this past season over at Hampton, and the rebuild over at Hampton after they had a coaching regime change in the offseason, that is going to be very, very prevalent. By the way, something that we were talking about with our good friend Rocco Miller, haven't seen a lot of guys follow their coach yet in the transfer portal. We shall see if we're going to be getting a little bit more of that moving forward. But for Maxwell, 2 seasons ago, he was over at Georgia Tech, and for his career at Georgia Tech was about a 4-point-per-game score, so, and he proved that he can do something at the ACC level, just wasn't a fit at Hampton. 6.5 points, 2.5 assists per contest for a Hampton team that, quite frankly, it was a bunch of just misfit pieces, I think is the best way of putting it, so we shall see what happens on that front. And then you did see Andrew Carr decide that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Carr was tremendous with just being able to stuff the stat sheet. A season ago, he was able to pop threes at about 6'10", so he's got a really nice skill set there. 13.5 points, 6.5 boards on 37% three-point shooting for a Wake Forest team that their defense in recent years has left a little bit of something to be desired, but that offense, it certainly has been good and rock solid. And then you did see Kurt Lewis. He was playing over at Missouri this past season. He has decided that he is going to be transferring on over to ETSU. Lewis really didn't do a whole heck of a lot while he was over at Missouri. He was at Eastern Kentucky to begin his career, and while he was at Eastern Kentucky before dropping down to John A. Logan College, which has really provided a lot of good talent in general. I still remember you did see J. Jay Scrub actually go immediately, pretty much from John A. Logan, into the NBA. I do think that this is going to be a nice get. He just couldn't find his way. Kurt Lewis was like a top 10 junior college transfer, and while he was at Eastern Kentucky for two seasons, he put up 10.5 points. He was a starter, shot in the mid-30s from three-point range, generating nearly a steal and a half per contest. I just have no idea what happened with Missouri last season, but they couldn't find a way to be able to get Kurt Lewis out there on the floor, so going to be very interesting to see what happens here, but I do think that this is going to be a great landing spot for him out there in the SoCon, and he should be able to go out there and should be able to completely dominate. I also want to be taking a look at some of these non-D1 guys as well. George Kimball, he was over at Eckerd College. He was pretty much one of the best freshmen at the D2 level last season, averaged nearly 20 points, 4.5 assists per contest over in the Sunshine State Conference, and he has decided that he's going to be heading on over to Eastern Kentucky. As I was alluding to, they plucked out Kurt Lewis a few seasons ago. I think that this is going to be a very nice gift for them, and I do think that they are going to do a nice job of retooling, and I like the colleges that are at the lower level that are trying to get a little bit more creative, find these D2 guys. Oftentimes, it does lead to quite a bit of success. Jamie Kaiser, he's going to be looking to rebuild his rep. After a season ago, he entered as a top 100 recruit into Maryland and just did absolutely nothing whatsoever, and he has decided that he is going to be transferring on over to Butler. Jamie Kaiser this past year, 4.5 points per contest from three-point range. He shot 26.5% from distance. He was just a complete liability in general for Maryland. That's not tremendous, so Butler does have their work cut out for them, but if he's willing to grow, if he's willing to improve, I do think that that is going to be a solid gift for them. You saw Montitas Mokakis. He was over at UCF Central Florida. Just did not see a lot of playing time whatsoever. He has decided that he is going to be going to Incarnate Word. I know that he's a little bit of a foreign product, was a part of a NBA Academy, and he was averaging right around about 15 points per contest as a part of the NBA Academy. Going to be interesting to see his skill set. He's a little bit of a 6'7" wing, and that's the sort of things that Incarnate Word need to do. They need to be getting creative, and they are certainly doing that. How about this big pickup for Ole Miss, as they're going to be bringing in Malik Dia. Dia was over at Belmont this last season, and he's not going to be any sort of a rim protector or anything like that. And Chris Beard, going to need to preach a little bit more defense, as Ole Miss last season was actually a pretty solid offense. Couldn't really give you a lot on D, but for Dia, he stands right around 6'9", 17 points, 5.5 boards, 34% three-point shooter. If Chris Beard can get him to play a little bit of defense, this is going to be a massive gift for them. That is a guy that is absolutely textbook perfect for this system. So I do think that Chris Beard doing a good job will be able to find some talent. And we were alluding to this one a little bit before with Rocco Miller. Jabri Abdul-Rahim, he has decided that he is going to enter into the NBA draft, but has already decided that he's going to be transferring to Providence. And typically, when you see a guy both enter into the NBA draft and decide where he's going to be transferring to, he's going to be transferring. We typically don't see a lot of these guys actually stay in the NBA draft, but that said, for Abdul-Rahim, he as a 6'8 combo player last season over at Georgia was one of their top scorers. He was able to supply about 12.5 points per contest. Needs to be a little bit more of a well-rounded player, as he really didn't give you a ton on the defensive side of things or anything like that, but that said, he was able to haul in there right around about 3.5 rebounds per contest, shot 36% from three-point range, so Providence is going to be getting a relatively solid get there, and I don't expect him to actually be staying out there in the NBA draft as well. CJ Jones, he was playing over for UIC, aka the Flames of Illinois Chicago. He has decided that he's going to be transferring on over to Kansas State, and good to see Kansas State jumping into the transfer portal a little bit earlier. I think that they maybe learned that, hey, that lightning in a bottle when they were able to get so many of the late transfers during the 2022-23 season, that's probably not something that's going to be overly sustainable moving forward, and they jump in a little bit earlier this offseason, and I do think that getting a guy in Jones who was able to give 14.5 points, 5 assists per contest to his team out there in the Missouri Valley Conference, it's going to be relatively solid. I would say that this is probably not going to be a guy that's going to be like some sort of a tough light starter or anything like that, but that said, this is a relatively good pickup for them. This is a good pickup for Akron as well. Akron has had like 3 pickups here in the last 48 to 72 hours, but they're going to be bringing in Josiah Harris. Harris was able to log about 5 points, 4 rebounds per contest for West Virginia last season, and 2 seasons ago, he had one of the best assist to turnover ratios in all of college basketball. Now, granted, he didn't give out a whole heck of a lot of assists in general, but guy that's relatively wily with the ball, doesn't have great size, but he's got relatively okay size, and I think that he's going to be able to help out an Akron team that they're really putting together a nice little roster right now for Akron. They get this pickup. Along with that, they get another gentleman from West Virginia, Seth Wilson, James Okonkwo. I believe that he began his career at West Virginia, if I'm not mistaken, as well was at North Carolina this last season. So it's becoming West Virginia Midwest. And I do think that that's actually a very good thing when you're able to get these sorts of transfers that have already played with one another. That's going to be big. IUPUI, a.k.a. Iwi Piwi, they are going to be losing Vincent Brady II. He has decided that he's going to be going to Missouri State, averaging 9 points. About a steal per contest this past season while it was over at IUPUI. 2 seasons ago, it was actually a relatively solid 3-point shooter for IUPUI. That dropped to about 30% this past season, as everyone for IUPUI was just not great in general. So he's decided that he is going to be heading on over to Missouri State. And for Missouri State, they hire back on Konzo Martin this offseason, who had a lot of success there many years ago. I have my question marks as to whether or not it's going to be working out quite the same this time around. And for the Morehead State transfer, and Eddie Ricks III, he has decided that he's going to be adding on over to James Madison. As a true freshman last year, he made a nice impact at 6'7", 7.5 points, 5.5 boards. Not necessarily a guy that's going to pop a lot of threes, but when he did pop them, he shot about 31% from distance. That's going to be a gentleman of impact. Few guys that decided that they were going to be entering into the transfer portal. KJ Odur. Odur was someone that did not see a whole heck of a lot of minutes for Central Michigan. Meanwhile, Michael Avrao, he was last season over at Siena. 5.5 points, 5.5 rebounds per contest, has some relatively solid size. Going to be interesting to see where those guys end up. And you also did see Jack Scott, who was averaging about 2.5 points, 2.5 boards for a Princeton team that they just had not necessarily a lot of depth whatsoever. They decided to not use their bench whatsoever. He's decided that he's checking his options. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal as well. And then you've got Carlos Stewart, who has decided that he is going to be transferring back to Santa Clara. So the long, winding road of Carlos Stewart leads him back to Santa Clara, where he was just a few seasons ago. For Stewart, just didn't see a lot of playing time this last season over at LSU. He averaged about 4.5 points on 27.5% three-point shooting after he, for Santa Clara during the 2022-23 campaign, was a starter, 15 points, 2.3 assists, shoots 40% from three-point range. And this is becoming just more and more of a trend in general. These guys that they transfer away from a program, they don't like what they get at the new school that they go to. They decide, hey, you want me back? And typically they say yes. So that is going to be a reuniting that I think is going to work out very well for all parties. JJ Trainer, he was over at Louisville this past season, played just 8 games, and when he was out there on the court, he was able to make an impact. He logged 10 points per contest, shot about 37% from three. He's heading on over to DePaul, and it's going to be very fascinating to take a look at this DePaul team, because I do think that when it comes to hiring on Chris Holtman, it's better than what they had before. I'm not necessarily the biggest stan for Chris Holtman or anything like that, but I certainly don't think that it can get any worse. And they brought in guys that are just a little bit of cast-offs, like CJ Gunn is coming over from Indiana. They're bringing in Cooper Enright, who was over at Drake, who was an okay facilitator, but I'm looking at this roster, I'm not sure how they're going to compete in the Big East. Isaiah Rivera is a nice 3-point shooter that was over at UIC, Illinois, Chicago, and they bring in NJ Benson, who had a few rebounds at Missouri State. I just don't know how they're going to be able to compete. That's just me, so we shall see what happens there. Dylan Mitchell, he was a relatively solid player over at Texas. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. And for Mitchell, he was able to put up some relatively nice numbers this past season. He was able to log for the old Texas Longhorns, the most rebounds of anyone on the roster. As for Mitchell, he was able to pull in there right in the neighborhood of about 7.5 boards to go along with his 9.5 points per game. Not necessarily a guy that would give you like a lot of facilitation, would not be able to just step out there and shoot a bunch of threes or anything like that, but a rock solid low post player. So I think that that's going to be of significance for them. And then we did see Jair Davis decide that he's heading on over to from Delaware, and he's going to be going to Syracuse. For Davis, he was a nice impact guy this past season over at Delaware. He went from being a little bit more of a number two option to being the main man, and he took over that mantle very well. 17.5 points, 7.5 boards, 2.5 assists as a 6'7" do-it-all player. Now, he's not really a good three-point shooter, but for Syracuse, they did a nice job generating turnovers this past season for his career, averaging about a steal per contest, so we shall see what happens on that front, but no doubt about it, that's going to be of a little bit of impact. Big Z is a very easy. Hopefully I said that correctly. He has decided that he's going to be following his coach, John Calipari, on over to Arkansas. At 7'2", he's able to pop threes, will give you a little bit over a block per contest, was logging right around about 5.5 points per game. He must love what John Calipari was given to him last season because he has decided that he's going to be following him. Would have been very interesting to see what he could have done in that Mark Pope system, by the way. But that said, I do think that this is going to be a case where with him following John Calipari, he's probably going to be a main focal piece for Arkansas this season. I think that if John Calipari can coach him right, man, we are looking at a juggernaut in college basketball. And as we see one guy stay in the SEC, this guy might be departing it. Sam Walters, 6'10", freshman who logged about 5.5 points per contest and shot 39% from three. He's out there in the transfer portal. That should be someone that a lot of teams are going to be after. He's got a nice little skill set, so we shall see what happens on that front. And Darlston Dubar, he was playing this last season over at Hofstra. We saw a Hofstra transfer last season and Aaron Estrada enter into the SEC, and he was tremendous for Alabama. Tennessee is trying to capture that as well. Dubar, he has decided that he is going to be becoming a volunteer. Shot 40% from three with 18 points, 6.5 boards, and a little bit over a steal per contest this past season over at Hofstra. Do I think he's going to be quite what Aaron Action Estrada was this past season? No, but at the same time, I do think that he can come in there, be a nice little bit of an impact guy, and I do think that that's a really good get in general. You've got Mohamed Keita, who's a 7'1" big man. He has decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Didn't see a ton of minutes over at Tulsa, but if he's able to get in the right system, it does feel like he's got some nice pieces to be able to be a nice upside guy. And I feel like that's the same way with Yannick Conan. Niederhauser was able to give Northern Illinois about 1.5 blocks, 5 rebounds per game. And then we did see Central Connecticut state guard Kellen Amos decide that he's going to be adding on over to Rice. We give our own to Lane Kiffin. Go Owls for Amos. He was able to put up about 12 points per contest this past season for a Central Connecticut team that was much improved on defense. I think a lot of that was due to Amos. He's got a nice little skill set, and I do think that he's going to help out a Rice program that just has not been able to figure it out in recent years. For Amos, he's able to give you about 5 boards, 2.5 assists as a 6'6", do-it-all sort of player. The one thing that he doesn't really do well is shoot threes, and that's something that Rice did pride themselves on a little bit in past seasons. So we've got a lot of intrigue out here in college basketball right now. We're trying to see if we're going to get a few more NBA draft decisions as well. We saw Ogana Onyeso decide that he is going to be as well. I don't think that he's going to be maintaining his eligibility. He said that he's 100% focused on going to the NBA draft, and I don't think that this is necessarily going to be the world's biggest loss for Kentucky. I mean, he was a solid low post player. He gave you about 5 boards, 3.5 points per contest, nearly 3 blocks per contest, so he was a nice rim protector for a team that really didn't play a whole heck of a lot of defense in general. But going to be very interesting to see what happens with that moving forward. And with Dylan Mitchell, along with his transfer, he is also going to be one of those guys that is entering into the transfer portal while also entering into the NBA draft as well, just to clear that up. And we are paying attention to everything that we're getting in college basketball right now here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And there's a lot going on, but we're going to try to keep it all straight for you because, man, trying to do this alone, it would be very, very difficult. And we want to make this the most successful college basketball betting season ever. And if you do like hearing from the Stein Podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of 2 ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at GNN_41. Keep in mind, letters EM, the me does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like here on this podcast via that 5-star review. Big thanks once again to our good friend Rocco Miller over at Bracketeer.org. I'm coming at you guys every single day throughout the year, regular season and off season, which means I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.